106.5 The End presents the Wake Up Call Town Hall.
Our next guest is Lindsay Plummer. Lindsay is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's also a licensed professional clinical counselor. Lindsay, thanks for being on with us this morning.
Thanks for having me today.
Lindsay, this is obviously a difficult time for everybody, and I think people that even don't suffer from mental illness or depression are struggling right now with being quarantined or staying away from their friends. What are you seeing out there as far as clients that you have or just observations about the state of mental health right now?
Well, and what I really encourage people to do is a couple of things, is to stay on top of their symptoms. Most people know what their specific vulnerabilities are and don't wait until it's too late to reach out and ask for help. But I do think that this is an opportunity for all of us to really tap into our resilience. Like, everyone out there has been through really difficult times before, and when we were going through them, we did not know how we'd make it to the other side. We maybe felt lost and confused, but we got to the other side, and, sometimes we even became stronger or more wise on the other side because of it, and I think this is an opportunity to remember that and remind each other of that.
Does isolation make symptoms worse for people with mental illness?
Absolutely. There's something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And basically, it's the basic needs of human beings. And, food, water, oxygen is sort of, the most important, but human connection is the next one. And, babies that aren't picked up and held will die, even if they have adequate nutrition and hydration. And so finding ways to stay connected in a safe way through a time like this is critical.
Does social media count, though, as human interaction?
It's not ideal, right? And under typical circumstances.
It's not ideal in any situation.
Right. But.
Exactly. But these are not ideal circumstances. And I was thinking about that earlier, about out of all the times in human history to be sequestered at home, thank God for social media.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's just, you have to kind of be careful about what you're taking in while you're on social media. So I do think social media is great if you're careful. And also, texting people, mailing people cards or letters right now, doing Marco Polo or YouTube videos that you can send back and forth. Use technology to your advantage right now because it's largely so safe.
How different is this from 9/11?
That is a really good question, but I feel like with 9/11, we had a lot of opportunities to gather in person.
Yeah, that's true.
And we do not have those opportunities now. So, the mindset that I'm really encouraging people to take is look at social distancing as a loving act of solidarity and connectedness for your fellow community members. These are loving things we're doing to take care of one another and the most vulnerable members of our community at this time. And I think that really helps.
We're talking with Lindsay Plummer, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, also a licensed professional clinical counselor. Tell us about husbands and wives and men and women who live together and having to do it while quarantined or having to do the stay at home. Like, how do you navigate through that, especially if coming out the end, you might be completely sick of each other? How bad does this damage the relationship, and how can you improve it?
So I think making time for a little space is good if possible. And maybe now would be the time. There's something called the 5 love languages. And, there are a million articles out there on the 5 love languages. And I tell couples, look up the 5 love languages, write yours down, have your partner write theirs down, exchange lists, and kind of make it how about let's exchange lists, 5 love languages for the stay-at-home orders.
Yeah.
And what things would make you really feel loved, and then kind of make it a point or maybe even a little competition to show your partner some of those things. So if it's making coffee in bed every day, or if it's taking the kids out so your partner can get a little work done and quiet, or if it's you know, a back rub or, you know, a special meal cooked. You know, the fabric of a relationship, you know, can be pulled apart till the point that it's not repairable, right? And so you want to make sure you're strengthening that up and avoiding things that pull it apart. I would also avoid, you know, all couples have those unsolvable arguments, right? And I would avoid those right now. First of all, they're unsolvable typically. They're about things you're probably never going to see eye to eye on or situations in your lives that are not fixable. And try and avoid falling into the trap of having those discussions now while everyone is, you know, already not in a good mental space.
This is Lindsay Plummer, a licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional clinical counselor that's on with us this morning. The people who are under 25 aren't necessarily taking this as serious as they should. What should we tell them?
Well, I mean, first of all, some of the new statistics show that maybe folks in that age group are not quite as invincible as we originally thought. There's a lot about this situation that we don't know. But, you know, the other piece is that even if you're not someone that's going to get super sick, if you contract this, if you spread it around to your parents, your grandparents, an elderly neighbor, a friend that has an immune compromised issue, perhaps damage could be done that can't be taken back. And so I think that younger people, and I don't say this in a bad way at all, but younger people have a different outlook on life, and that's great for a lot of reasons. So it's important to think social distancing and staying at home is an act of love. Even if you're not the person that would get sick or suffer from this, you're doing this for the most vulnerable members of our community. And I do think young people, like this younger generation of people, are so incredibly altruistic. Maybe that's how we get their buy-in. This is for vulnerable people. This is for people that have issues with immune systems, people that are elderly, people that don't have good access to healthcare to begin with and might be afraid to go into the emergency room or don't even have a primary care physician that could see them online. That's who we're really trying to help when we're staying home.
Can we do some real quick questions from listeners that we have here? This question's from Mark. What about our medication? Should we be asking for more than we need?
I think that's a good idea. And most doctors and health insurance companies are really good at giving people a 90-day supply if they ask for it. Mm-hmm. The only caveat that I would say is that if you are a person who is suicidal or has a history of being suicidal, make a safety plan with your doctor to decide if, you know, A, this is the best option for you to have that much medication in the house, or maybe have a family member help manage your medication. But, I think if it is safe and possible, have that extra medication in the house because it avoids extra trips out.
This is two questions from Sarah and Carrie, but they're kind of the same thing. How do we navigate all the media information without feeling overwhelmed, but still be informed enough to feel safe? And then the other question, which is kind of related, is should we avoid the news?
You know, if the news makes you feel completely despondent and feel despair, maybe you should avoid the news for a time. However, if you are able to watch it, you know, pay attention to when you start feeling upset. If that's half an hour into watching the news, then you need to stop watching it at 15 or 20 minutes. Don't even get close to your limit. And the other thing that I think is important is to, you know, that old sort of Fred Rogers, good old Mr. Rogers adage is to look for the helpers. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things right now. Maybe try and, you know, finish off your news cycle on a positive note and be mindful of when you're watching the news. Right before bed is probably not a great time. The first thing after you wake up in the morning, also not a great time because, you know, you're projecting all that into your day. So be mindful of the time of day.
And you helped us put together a big list of phone numbers and websites for all kinds of stuff. Suicide prevention, parent caregiver guide for helping families, Weave, food banks, substance abuse, 12-step programs. You were really helpful in researching a bunch of this stuff. All of it is located by just texting the word support to 73389.
Lindsay Plummer, licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional clinical counselor. We cannot thank you enough for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for keeping everybody connected and healthy.